Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you have worked in history, that you have recorded that history for us, that we learn from what you have done in the past. Father, please enable us to understand and apply and respond to your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the USA, there's a river called the Platte River. And apparently it looks huge. It looks very impressive. At one stage, when people first saw it, they thought, wow, this could be a major shipping channel where we could transport stuff between different cities. But unfortunately, it's turned out that it's not deep enough to be used by serious ships. In fact, it's from this river that we get the expression, a mile wide and an inch deep. Now, when we think about Christianity in Australia, when we look at the numbers, we see that Christianity in Australia is actually wide. More than, it doesn't feel like it, but more than 50% of Australians call themselves Christian. Of course, for many, Christianity does not run very deep. Only one in four people who call themselves Christian actually come and meet with God's people at church. And only 2 out of 10 regularly read the Bible. And so it's important today that as we think through the gospel ministry here in Ephesus, we think through what it was that meant that it had not only a wide impact, but also a deep impact. I counted maybe 6 short stories in that reading, so we're going to move fairly quickly through them this morning. And I want to, as we move through them, I want to point out some key features of Paul's mission in Ephesus. And with each of these, we'll think through, okay, what are the lessons for us here in Reservoir? And what are the lessons as we think about global mission and what it means to support and send people on global mission? And I hope to point out that in Ephesus, we see depth of understanding, depth of impact, depth of spiritual power, and depth of life transformation. So they're the 4 points this morning. Okay. Before Paul even gets to Ephesus, there was someone turned up, a Jew called Apollos, who arrived and began teaching. And chapter 18, verse 25 says, Apollos taught about Jesus accurately, although he only knew the baptism of John. He's someone who is a good speaker. He's very enthusiastic. But what was he teaching? So it seems he knew about Jesus. And just like John the Baptist, he called people to repent and to follow Jesus. I wonder if what happened is that he was someone, he was familiar with the sermons of Jesus. He was familiar with the stories, the parables that Jesus told. He knew Jesus was a great teacher to be followed. Now, did he know about the cross and the resurrection? Maybe he did, but it doesn't seem that he understood the significance of the cross and the resurrection. Doesn't seem that he clearly understood the new life that comes when we trust in Jesus and his finished work. And so what Apollos was teaching was true, but it wasn't the whole story. And so Paul's friends, Priscilla and her husband Aquila, were very gracious. They don't attack him as a heretic. Instead, they just quietly take him aside. They say, why don't you come over for dinner? And they explain to him the things that he needs to know. We see in the book of Acts, there's a big difference between someone who has heard the truth and rejected it and someone who just hasn't heard the whole truth yet. They're wanting Apollos to have depth of understanding. It's a similar story at the start of chapter 19. Paul arrives and he meets 12 disciples who are also followers of John the Baptist. Now, I wonder, had they been taught by Apollos? Is that... Well, we're not exactly sure. It doesn't quite make that connection. But it seems that they understood even less than Apollos did. And so Paul explains to them what they don't yet understand. And in chapter 19, verse 5, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And after that, something surprising happens. Verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. What happened to them is the same as what happened on the day of Pentecost, on that first day when Jesus gave his Holy Spirit to his church. Now, speaking in tongues doesn't happen every time someone becomes a Christian, doesn't happen every time someone is baptized in the book of Acts. It only actually happens at a few key moments when God wants to point out something, he wants to show clearly that certain groups of people are included in his kingdom. So you see, it happens when the Samaritans come to believe, when the Gentiles come to believe. It's God saying, yep, these are my people too. So I think it's important for us to understand it's not necessary for someone to speak in tongues to be a Christian. But what God's showing here is that for these guys, these followers of John the Baptist, until this point, they weren't truly Christians. Until this point, they were still living in the Old Testament. And can I suggest that there are actually so many in Australia who are like these people? There are so many people in Australia who have a general belief in God, a general respect for the teaching of Jesus, who even feel bad about sin and want to do what's right, but haven't yet understood the cross and the resurrection and how that brings salvation to us. People who have a general desire to come to God, but haven't yet understood that if we come through Jesus, there is free forgiveness of sins. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But perhaps some of those people are waiting for you to meet them and to talk about your faith and to explain to them how they can be right with God. As we do Jesus' mission here in Reservoir, we want to help people move from a general commitment to God into a deep understanding of the gospel. Because you might want to live a good life, but if you're just relying on your own efforts, you're not going to be very effective. And just by relying on your own efforts, you're not going to be forgiven. But it's actually when you understand the grace of God, when you receive the complete forgiveness that comes through Jesus, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's actually when you're able to make progress and to be driven by love. And if that applies in Reservoir, of course that applies overseas. Anyone wanting to share the gospel overseas is looking to be able to find people who have a general acceptance of Jesus and move them into a deep and life-changing knowledge of the gospel. Okay, second thing we see in this story is the depth of impact that Paul had during these years in Ephesus. Now, he starts with 3 months teaching in the Jewish synagogue, which is quite a long time, isn't it? And it seems that as he was teaching, some people accepted what he said, and other people hardened themselves against it until it sort of reached a boiling point, and Paul went out and he goes and he hires a hall. And he holds his lectures in the hall. And maybe actually it was for the better that he had the hall, because while in the synagogue, the main service was once a week, in the hall, he could actually have discussions every day. And look at the results of these discussions that happened in the hall every day. Look at chapter 19, verse 10. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. So how did this happen? How from one lecture hall did the whole province of Asia hear the word of the Lord? Well, remember, it's in the capital city, so lots of people would have travelled in and out, just like in Victoria, most people need to come into Melbourne at some stage. But it's not only that. It's that as people came in, Paul trained them. He trained local people and he sent them out to all the towns and villages. And we know this because there was a small town in Asia called Colossae. And we have Paul's letter in the New Testament to the Colossians.